You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Troy Ferguson.
Mr. Crawley, how are you?
Don't take it personal. You're not the meanest man I've ever seen. That's me. Second, maybe. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We've got some good stuff in store at the moment.
Yeah, I was excited when I heard it was from the crate time. And I was very curious to know what was going to emerge from your crate. But first of all, did you have a good record store day?
Yeah, it was fun. We had a great time.
Cool. As I said to you, I think I had possibly a bank balance of 30 cents. And so I didn't think I should probably venture out. Otherwise, I would feel extremely...
left out.
Well, just a bit, little bit like, can I put this on hold? Can I put this on hold? Can I put this on hold? Can I put this on hold?
And we'd have been, no. Yeah. No, sorry.
Would have been tears on the acetate.
But that's all right. I've already made you feel a bit bad about one of the records you missed out on.
That's okay.
That's all right, though.
It's all right.
I won't lend you my copy.
Well, what have you got for us today? I already know what you've got for us today. But you tell the peeps.
Well, the first thing we've got today comes out worldwide tomorrow. Although we've had a bit of a delay, so we won't have it in the store till Monday.
Okay.
But nonetheless,
it's
been worth waiting for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while coming.
Well, it has. Alice Coltrane. Most people would know the name Alice Coltrane. But this record is from Luwaka Bop. It is entitled World Spirituality Classics 1. It's a new series they're doing. The Ecstatic Music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sangeetananda. There you go.
Cool. Well done.
So what this is I don't know whether you know, but after John Coltrane died in 67, Alice did about 13 records for Impulse label and Warner Brothers label, up to about 1978. And the last couple were like, in fact, everything Alice Coltrane had done was kind of spiritual, sort of leaning jazz sort of stuff. But after that, she went and formed a Vedantic center, you know, a Vedic religion center in California. She basically stopped being Alice Coltrane after that. You know, there was very few public appearances. It wasn't like she'd like gone into a monastery in hiding. She still lived in a house.
Yeah.
You know, they had a complex with a temple and everything, but she still lived in a house in Woodland
Shifted
Hills.
Shifted focus.
Basically the focus of her music became devotional music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about the Vedic religions.
Probably maybe as much as the next person, if the next person didn't know very much.
Yeah, that's probably right. Probably it's the same as myself. The ecstatic music of those religions is basically something called the bhajans, which is a chant, a mantra.
Yeah.
You know, a mantra will get going. Even if someone doesn't know what a mantra is, but they know the name Coltrane, maybe if you go back to A Love Supreme, when you hear in the first movement of A Love Supreme, Coltrane chanting, A Love Supreme, A Love Supreme, that's a mantra.
Right.
It's totally simplistically.
Yeah.
Now, Alice Coltrane... apart from being married to John Coltrane, but prior to that, when she was Alice MacLeod, she started playing organ in a church in Detroit when she was 9.
Wow.
Later, she moved to Paris.
Did she play the organ in the church like...
Well, I don't know if it was that much European tradition in it, but right. Possibly. But she moved to Paris for a while. She studied with the great bebop piano player Bud Powell. Mm-hmm. Moved back to the United States, played with Terry Gibbs, made an album with Terry Gibbs, actually, of Jewish music. And Terry Gibbs said about it, he goes, Alice just took over the whole session.
Yeah,
she met Coltrane, married Coltrane, and became part of his last quartet.
Yeah.
Right, so she played piano, she played organ, she played harp. Now, the music we're talking about now, I'm sorry, I've been a bit long-winded as usual, haven't
That's
I?
That's all right.
The music we're talking about now is stuff, her ashram music, which was made simply for other devotees. It was, she recorded 4 album-length cassettes and put them out, you know, through the private press, Avatar Books and International, whatever it was called. The music sort of remained unheard outside there till then. Now, what sort of music is it, apart from being devotional music? What does she play? What do you think she plays? That's correct, Matthew. It's mainly the Ogerheim synthesizer on this. But the most important thing about it is her vocal. She sings.
Right.
That never happened in her career at all.
Yeah, it's actually not something you really associate with her.
I don't really want to say too much more apart from
check it on.
Yeah, well, this album I haven't been able to stop listening to, and it was a terrible wondering which one to play. But I figured the one we'll play, rather than one that has all of the other singers chanting with her and everything, I think this time I just want give you the chance to hear Alice's voice.
Alice alone, cool.
Yeah.
All right, and so the album is out, for argument's sake, on Monday.
Correct. Yep. Yes. This one here is called Rama Rama, I think.
Okay.
I'm
Beautiful.
So that there is that's part of what you get on this new record.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's as you can hear, it's not like recorded on a dictaphone in their temple or anything.
No.
She did go. What she'd do is she'd record on DAT the things the singers were doing and what she was doing, and then they'd go into a studio in Los Angeles, one of four studios, and make a record. There's a funny thing in the liners. I think it's Ravi Coltrane, her son, saying that when they did one in 1990. I'll tell you which one that was, which cassette release that was, Infinite Chance. They were in the same studio as Guns N' Roses, who were making that two double album thing that they did.
Yeah, right. And but, I bet you can really tell.
Yeah, you totally can, yeah.
Well, I could talk about this all day, but we may need to move on to Paul Weller.
Let's move on to Paul Weller. Now, it's actually not such a big jump from Ellis Coltrane, in that 22 Dreams is album from... When was that? 2007?
You tell me.
He did a song for Alice.
Oh, right.
Which was like inspired by and dedicated to Alice Coltrane.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So anyway, Paul Weller has... I mean, do I even need to explain who Paul Weller is? Probably not. But let's just talk about the last couple of years.
Well, let's just
Weller.
Say Troy wouldn't be wearing this jacket that he's wearing today if it wasn't for Paul Weller.
I wouldn't even be walking if it wasn't for Paul Weller. The last few years has seen, you know, we were talking just off air before saying that there's been a couple of times in Weller's career where things haven't gone so well, but only a couple of times.
Mm.
And the not going so well was simply writer's block.
Yeah, and none of those things have ever been his hair. His hair has always been good.
I said to somebody here recently, if you can find me a picture of Paul Weller looking embarrassing, I'll give you a prize.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the last few years, you know, probably since 22 Dreams, he's been on, you know, yet another career plateau, as you know, as we've had in the Jam and the Style Council and everything else. And the
a
last
plateau at a high level, not a low level.
No, not a nadir.
Yeah.
But plateauing at the very top of his game. The last couple of records, what was Sonic Kicks, which was sort of quite a harsh sounding. Sort of like post-punk experimental record, and then Saturn's Pattern, which was the last record that was, I don't know what you would call it, kind of a sci-fi mod rock, I don't know, something. But anyway, this new one is entitled A Kind Revolution.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, it's out next Friday, worldwide next Friday.
Yeah.
In a bunch of formats. One format is really interesting that isn't vinyl. It's a deluxe edition, a three CD set. So it's the album and then an instrumental version of the album and then remixes done by Paul and Stan, Jan Kybert, who's produced the record with him. But the album itself, now, why has it taken this long for P.P. Arnold to sing on a Paul Weller record? I have no idea.
Good question.
But P.P. Arnold appears on this one, as does the great Robert Wyatt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Paul's appeared on Robert Wyatt records before, but this is the first time Wyatt is singing and playing trumpet on a Weller record. Who else is there? Boy George. Boy George, don't laugh.
Oh, even a laugh of joy.
Even back in the 80s, Weller was always positive about Boy George.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know, people couldn't see the soul that George was singing.
Yeah.
You know, Weller could.
Yeah.
And again, so why is it taking so long for Boy George to be on a Weller record? I don't know, but it doesn't matter because now he is.
All right.
Now.
So this song.
Should we do? Do you want to hear the song?
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything you want to say about it?
Well, this one is called Nova, and it's one of the two that have been allowed to be played.
Yeah.
And this one, we got the new Uncut magazine in the store the other day, and I flicked through it and saw like a full page review.
Yeah.
And it said this song Nova is somehow compressing David Bowie's entire career into one song.
Right.
It's really cool.
Surprise! It's not called Supernova in that case.
Oh well, there you go.
Here it is. Paul Weller with Nova. What's the name of the album again?
A Kind Revolution, of course, is it political or is it humanitarian? It's up to you.
We'll see. From Lazarus to Laughing Gnome and Two Easy Steps.
There you go. There's Nova. The guitar player in that one is a kid from that band, The Stripes, with a Y.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Nice. Good fact.
Yeah. So, A Kind Revolution, it's out next Friday. And I wish I could have played one of the other tunes.
That you're sitting on and loving. You can at least name the track that you can send people out to listen to.
No, they can't listen to it till it's out.
When it's out. What's your fave on the album?
No, I'm not going to say.
All right, fine.
Shall we go to something that people have mostly heard before?
Sure.
Right. Now, we were saying also earlier off air, we're rudely speaking off air, that there was a period where records didn't come out. Remember that period?
Yep.
Yeah, it was CDs only.
It was the 1800s, I think it was.
It was 2005. Exactly right. There was one of my favourite records from that year, from one of my favourite vocalists, came out. It was entitled "The Mouse and the Mask" by Danger Doom, which is obviously Doom with Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Yep, makes sense.
And it was done. It was done kind of in conjunction with that TV channel, Adult Swim.
Yep.
So a lot of the stuff on there, there was, it was very, very light on guests.
Hmm.
Ghostface Killah was there and Talib Kweli was there, but the only other guests were like Harvey Birdman, attorney at law, and Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, you know, and mainly the Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was a tremendously fun record, and it was followed up like the following year, I think, with an EP called Occult Hymn.
Yeah.
Okay, Occult Hymn, not being devilish, it rhymes with Adult Swim, obviously, is where they got that from. Finally, Metal Face Records, which is Doom's label, they're putting out tomorrow. They're putting out all of that stuff on vinyl. So it's a double vinyl set, which has the album, it has the EP, and it has two unheard tracks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I listened to it all again last night, and I thought, I wonder if I'll be kind of grated or annoyed by the Aqua Teen Hunger Force voices, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded great still.
So you'll be spinning some Meatwad on the dance floor.
Well, Meatwad is particularly irritating on this, but and there's a section where he does like a 3-minute a cappella. the goof of the album is beside the point. The quality of the beats is high, and Doom's lyrics and vocals are just like at the top of his weird, I have no idea what he's talking about game. It's great.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. And so I thought I was going to play one of the unheard tracks, but then I started to like question myself whether in fact it was Danger Doom or whether it was just Doom. I couldn't work out whether it was Danger Mouse had done the beat. So rather than do that and make a total fool of myself yet again, I figured we'll go for the El Chupanibra remix. Now, El Chupanibra was on the album, The Mouse and the Mask. The remix of it was entirely different beats and entirely different lyrics. I don't know what
remake, maybe. Reboot.
Well, it was called a remix, but there you go. Danger Doom, The Mouse and the Mask, official Metal Face version with new cover art, i.e. it's black instead of grey.
Mm-hmm.
It's out tomorrow.
All right. And Troy, look, I'm confused. If I want any of these records, where should I go to buy them?
Well, that's very easy, Matthew. You go and take your 30 cents out of the bank and we'll turn you away from Southbound Records on Simon Street.
Oh, well, give me till payday next week and I'll pop in. But Southbound Records, what's the address, Troy?
132 Simon Street, the next to T. White's Bikes.
You've said that before. All right. Thank you very much, Southbound Records. Thank you very much, Troy, for From the Crate. Alice Coltrane and Paul Weller, and now Danger Doom. And we'll be back after this.
Two. One, two, two, two.
More stupider than Richard Pryor, combined with Bazooka Joe jokes and spit fire. Eat MCs like El Chupanibre, except for not their feet, knock their beat off eBay. Danger in the street, shooting at a DJ. Doom counting chickens like the Colonel on D-Day. We about to fry, so burn them all, he say. Villain getting paid off the same joint three ways. You rang, can you spare some sugar? Why his right ear was a smear and a booger.
my coffee. He replied, of course, spilled to when the mask was ill. Get it off me. His money junkie couldn't spare a thin dime. Once was in a rhyme crew, monkeys into crime. What happened? They could've went platinum. Then he discovered the secret plan they had to get him. It wasn't hard to find a fallible. They had their differences all irreconcilable. And that's a pile of bull. They're bad, that's why they don't tell no tales nor wear plaid. His upper lip and dome stayed stiff. I made him try to riff over a homemade gif. A statuette of a foam chrome sprayed kiff with a handwritten signature for who to play diff. The Simpsons, or Back to the Future Part 2. We leave it up to you to choose who. When he cruise through, he know how you fools he's do. Get a cat to dream it and you cream him like a Suzy Q. He said, you, but you don't know, man. Watch, I bring the truck through, you switch like you owe, man. If you in luck, I get richer off you blow, man. Do my leg, I holla, get you, I should got cool, man. Well, now what do we got here? Miscommunication can lead to hot beer. Although he's not here, his agenda was clear. Clearly a big spender who wears a lot of gear. Doomed the great, no low self-esteem. Got to go get the wealth growing green, clean. He make it seem mean as a preteen choirhead. Sire said the first time he seen Firehead. The squire, what about Barbera? It's closer than it seems, like in a car mirror. Dancers turned gangster, what be Shirley Waller? His student was a cell buddy, name of Early Kyler.
Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.